guys. Welcome to episode 257 of the podcast with my charming and wonderful guest, Angela Weber. She and I met on the last JoCo cruise that I did. Shout out to the JoCo cruise. And she is half of the wonderful band, the Double Clicks, and we have included a song at the end of the podcast. I didn't meet her until after I had heard them perform, and I just thought that they were so... you know, Jesse Thorne did this thing many, many years ago, which is kind of hard to explain. But if you're a listener to his podcast, you may be familiar with it. But it was something called, he was calling the new sincerity. And he had this little button that had a kitten on it, and it said the new sincerity. And that's what I was reminded of when I saw the Double Clicks, because they're so sincere and funny, and their hearts are just in an amazing place, and I find it very inspiring. So enjoy the episode, and I will talk to you guys next time on the podcast. I, in reverse order, am going to quickly do some shout outs. I want to send lots and lots of shout outs, loves, hugs, hugs, thoughts, etc., to those of you who are listeners in areas that have been sustaining lots of hurricane and storm damage. I know there are many of you out there, and I hope you're doing okay. And I also want to shout out specifically Joseph, who has designed a bunch of JV Club stuff and was in Tampa and got lucky when the storm took a turn. So, but just thinking about you guys, and I also wanted to thank Jesse for your lovely email. Okay, that should do it, and I'll talk to you next time on the podcast.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Get right into it. I want to apologize if I keep like fussing with my eye, because I'm having one of those days where I put in a contact lens that appears to have some sort of schmutz on it.
Oh no.
But somehow I'm too stubborn to change it out, even though I wear contact dailies. Yeah. I wear dailies. I could easily take it out and start afresh.
Why
but
fix it?
I was busy. I was on the go. You saw me. I was wandering around my house with a fanny pack on because I was like, I got chores to do before Angela gets here. Yet I also need to listen to podcasts while I'm doing it. So I'm just too busy to change a contact lens.
No,
but there, but there is a sort of like a,
yeah,
like one hat, like for sure you're in better focus. Just, you know, maybe I could put an eye patch on. That wouldn't be any
that
more
would be
distracting.
Great. I would feel a lot more comfortable if you're wearing an eye patch.
And you look so, and I'm wearing like the most
sluggy,
that's not a word, but I feel like I'm very, I look gross.
We just moved here from Portland. I've been living out of a suitcase for a month, and we went shopping the other day.
Ooh,
and I was like, I have a new dress I'm going to wear.
Yeah, what a novelty.
Yeah.
How has it been so far? How have you felt about being
here? It's been
here?
Good. We've been on the road a lot. Like, we moved here for 2 weeks, and then I was on tour for 3 weeks, and then we got back for like 3 days. So I don't know. It still feels like a vacation to me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited to be here.
Sure.
So.
Where were you going? Where were you on tour?
We went to the Northeast, and then we went to Gen Con and PAX. So I've
been, cool.
Yeah.
Wait, is PAX back in Portland?
PAX is in Seattle.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Which is pretty much Portland. Yeah. So.
Yeah. How's the, I hate to say this, but how's the weather everywhere? And I only say that because it's been tricky for people with storms, and then tricky for people with heat waves.
We avoided all of it. Like, I wasn't in the Northwest when there were fires, and I wasn't here when there was fires, but I just see it all happening everywhere.
Mm-hmm. You're just darting around, avoiding the major...
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird time to be a person right
now. It's a little bit of a weird time to be a person. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you were, did you have an awareness that, like, I kind of feel like there were things that happened. I'm, by the way, not minimizing in any way how strange things are these days.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
I, like many people, tend to overanalyze things and then question myself. Not because I question other people, but like I'm so doubtful sometimes of myself. And I'm like, well, but let me just imagine. Because, for example, you know, John Lennon had a song in the 80s, him by himself, called Nobody Told Me There'd Be Days Like These Strange Days Indeed. So my question to you is, are we feeling this because we're at an age where we have the capacity to think that way because we've lived long enough that we can look back and say, like, well, I feel like things are pretty weird now? Yeah. Or does everyone at a certain age in a certain generation feel that way? Because surely people say, you know, people in the eight, obviously John Lennon was like, this is a fucking weird time to be alive.
Yeah. Well, I think especially with the internet now, we can see every horrible thing that's happening all the time.
Yeah.
So it's just like, well, it's all
horrible. That's very peculiar to us.
Which I'm trying to just get more and more into real life where you can like both experience reality and like actually do a good thing or like see a good thing happening, which you can't.
Yeah.
You just get so outweighed by bad when you're tuned into everything.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I remember when I worked briefly for the Huffington Post, there was I was doing like a live show, like a show every day, and but where we got our stories, unsurprisingly, would be we would pull them out of the Huffington Post columns, and then sometimes we'd interview the person who wrote it, or we would interview people that they talked to in the article, and it was it was just so painful that they have what they call vertical. I guess that's because you can. I don't know why it's called vertical. But they're called verticals. And they had they have one that's just called Good Things.
Oh.
And it's one of those like bittersweet things where you're like, oh, I'm so pleased that you guys are thinking through wanting to have a place you can go just to feel good about things. But also, oh God, we need just one place where you can feel good about things.
Everything good,
like,
is here.
The implication that every other column heading is like dire.
There's a free paper in Portland. I think it's actually probably everywhere, like the Zippity Doo News, which just positive news. And
let's
then
just
like
take
riddles
a moment to like
stuff.
Enjoy like, oh, the name of that. Okay, that's good. Good news, riddles, human interest stories. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But also, immediately writing it off for most of us, like, that all sounds great, and yet it feels less important, right? I mean, there's a, you know what I mean? There's
it
a sort of, like, I don't know.
Like you're ignoring suffering anytime you're happy.
Right. Yeah, that's really hard.
Yeah.
That's really hard. But surely, we also find, like you said, we find ways to kind of engage with people. That is the hard part, right? Is that there is this sort of, it reminds me of a, now I can't refer to anything unless it's someone else's work, apparently. But there, a very early Radio Lab episode about kind of making the choice. It's we really go down this rabbit hole, but it's the whole idea of, you know, all of the kind of like philosophical, sociological conundrum problems that are presented in college and elsewhere, where it's like, okay, you're in charge of a train. You can push one person off the train and save the whole train, you can flip the switch and save everyone, but the person dies, but they're far away from you. And that there are people who won't push, you know, the majority of people will make the decision if it's a piece of machinery, like, yes, I will kill that person because I don't have to be the person who's pushing them physically with my hands. And then the sort of alternative that is, you know, would you kill one baby to save, you know, a million people or whatever?
Which
and
has
if
never
so,
come up in my life.
It's I'm thankful it's never come up
probably
in mine
will,
either.
Though.
Now that we've said it,
you'll
be out on tour somewhere. You'll be like, why did we come to Houston this day? Houston, I'm not going to pick on you. You've gone through plenty. I'm just wondering if part of, us living in this era is, it's almost the reverse of it. It's like you're not going to see your community. You almost don't see your community. Whereas like in the back in the day, it would be like, well, you wouldn't kill a baby in your community, but you might kill a baby that you've never seen before because they're faceless. And in some kind of weird way, what's wonderful about the internet is that it is one big community on certain levels. But also now you only see the people far away who are going through horrible things. And maybe that takes the place of you seeing the community around you in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Opine. Tell me everything you think about the very long things I just said. Only so that I'm not the one talking for a second.
I agree
completely
with what you said. I don't
know. Yeah. You're also making a lot of statements in your music, too, so I shouldn't hold you accountable to have to go on a diatribe right now.
I'm just trying to be in real life more. That's all I can do, because it is, like, I feel like the being devastated by terrible things that happens just keeps you from being productive, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
I have to like write myself a flowchart of like, if I'm happy, then I can make this thing, which will show representation for this thing eventually, and that'll make everybody better.
No, whatever, I think that's a true thing, and that's a true. I like that you, whether or not that's a literal thing you had to do.
Yeah,
I really appreciate that, because that is something that becomes healthy, I think, becomes helpful is just to actually have this way of looking at it that feels scientific.
Yeah.
Like, well, listen, this is about my feelings, but also my feelings can be represented in a nice chart type way.
Yeah.
That I can trace and be logical about and feel like that's real on a different level than, oh, I feel bad about this and I'm just gonna, the whole conversation only happening between just kind of in the murky soup of what's going on inside us instead of seeing something on paper. I really appreciate that. Maybe I should adopt that more because it makes sense.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up, Angela?
I grew up in Kentucky till I was 6, and then the rest of the time in Boston until college, or outside of Boston.
How many memories of Kentucky do you have?
A few, mostly because as soon as we moved to Boston, I had decided my life was devastated because we had moved and I was so alone I'd never be happy again.
Mm-hmm. So positive associations with Kentucky.
Yeah, it was very dramatic. But we lived on like this, in this giant, we weren't farmers, but we had like a bunch of acres that other people, I guess, farmed for us. Or we rented, I have no idea. there were cows and stuff. There was just a lot of like playing outside and, we were in the middle of nowhere, so we just kind of kept, my sister and I kept ourselves entertained and did little science shows on a VHS. And,
oh, wonderful. Yeah, even fun. As young as that?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
We were very into making stuff because there was nothing. We didn't like watch TV or anything. It was just like, okay, we're going to run around. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you moved to Boston, what was that like? And what took you, your family, to Boston?
My dad got a job. He's a professor. So he moved to Berklee College of Music in Boston. It was okay. I think our town was is a suburb, and it was is full of townies. Like it was like really like everybody there had been there for a generation. So I was very dramatic, so it felt like I was out of place immediately. Mm-hmm. And,
I don't know though. I think that's fair. I mean, well, what was the name of this? Is this a suburb or an actual
Westford,
town?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Westward.
West Chelmsford. They shortened it.
Oh, okay.
Westford.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
It's not that much longer.
No. And there still is West Chelmsford. I don't know. No. Boston is amazing. Massachusetts is amazing.
Well, what I was going to say is, if there's one thing that there are certain areas in the United States that are known for being very proud and very let's hold on to our history. And I say that being from Arizona, feeling like that's not that big. It's not the same as, you know, people who live in Texas are very particular about being from Texas. And I totally get it. And I certainly feel like we can say that the Boston, Massachusetts area is also known for that. So being a kid from Kentucky, as dramatic as you might have been, I can see how that would be reinforced in a way that I don't think it would have if you'd moved to my city of Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It was it was like a fun, like a really, really good schools and a lot of like, I love learning, and they had a great music program and stuff like that. I wasn't great at making friends. I was a real nerd and got bullied and stuff. But
in like junior high and high school, does that hold out all the way through?
Kind of. I try to go back and analyze what happened. And I think in middle school and high school, I was really obsessed with the fact that I wasn't popular.
That self-fulfilled it.
If I hadn't cared so much about what people thought about me, I might have just had more friends. But
Yeah. What were your friendships like in high school? Did you have a handful of real closies? That's not an expression.
Yeah, it is my now. Closies and I.
Uh-huh. Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's what we say in Great. Westford.
Oh, good. Yeah. Wow, what a relief.
Some water.
Oh, please. Heavens knows why you take a sip. I can fill time because I can't seem to stop talking today.
Yeah, okay. I had friends from orchestra and marching band.
Great.
And
what were you playing?
So in orchestra, I played violin for a long time, and then I didn't like practicing, so I quit and became a drummer and was really good at that because nobody else could read music, so it was like a really low barrier to entry. And then in marching band, I played cymbals, and then I got promoted to snare drum.
Promoted is an amazing term to use.
And then I became the drum major. my senior year. So yeah.
Violin is one of those instruments that I think most people have that real. It seems, and I'm saying this based on mostly my experience during the podcast, but people tend to wish they played the piano. Like that sense of, like many people play the guitar, or they, if they don't, they wish they play the guitar.
Yeah.
Many people who don't play the piano wish they play the piano. Maybe because I know how to play both, I'm a much better guitarist. I'm not a great pianist by any stretch of the imagination, but I did take lessons.
Yeah.
That for me is violin. Like, right, that's the next, that's the sort of the third one, I think, that comes later, which is like, well, that's a real sophisticated instrument. I mean, I can't see the frets, what's happening. Yeah. The bow seems so sophisticated. So that for me is the instrument that where other people are like, you never play your guitars? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
That for me is violin. Like, oh, you gave up the violin? You had the skill to play, to be a violinist, and you gave it up?
I never had the skill. I started playing when I was 3. And then
I guess your dad is a professor of music.
Yeah, he's a musician. So, and then I don't know. I never wanted to practice it, and I just got real bitter about it. I was like, I'm going to rebel. I'm not going to do music at all. So I'm going to play drums, which is still the same thing as doing music.
I love it. I love that that's the huge rebellion. Yeah. You're not going to go build motorcycles. You're going to
I'm only going to band twice a week. So that's, take that.
That's amazing.
And then bell choir 3 times a week. Whatever.
Would that be more charming?
Screw you, Dad.
Only until I did this podcast did I even know what a bell choir was. Yeah. Let's refresh the listener, because it's been a good while since I had a bell choirist.
Sure. That was at church, handbell choir. You have 2 bells, so you're just 2 notes on the piano, and you play them every once in a while.
Great.
Yeah.
Do that almost sounds more confusing, because you're responsible for only 2 notes versus playing along the whole time.
I think that's the idea is that you know where you fit in the song, and so you can get in there, but
you can get in there,
you get in there, you know, you're squeeze part of in. The thing. It's a beautiful kind of idea.
But talk about being a little organism.
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't very good at it. And so it was just like sort of counting 8 measures of rests and then holding the whole note or whatever. But I did it a lot. I did a whole lot.
Yeah. So. What was your, that was at church?
Yeah.
What was your denomination?
Methodist.
Okay. Yeah. And now I have to ask, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I can tell the difference between certain denominations, but I guess I don't know. I say this as a lapsed Mormon, technically. Yeah. So if you want to know about the fringe Christianity, I'm pretty good with
Mormon.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And my best friend was Mormon too. They tried real
hard. We love to talk about that.
Yeah,
they tried hard to get you.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to get into that. But yeah, so. What makes a Methodist a Methodist?
Methodists are, we were Baptists in Kentucky. So the main thing I know is that Baptists, they baptize by immersion. And when you're like a teenager, I guess, and Methodists, they sprinkle you on the head when you're a baby, and then you get confirmed in 8th grade.
Is that like Catholicism? I mean, I know you get sprinkled as a Catholic.
It's less, I don't know. There's less Latin than Catholicism. It's I think a little less structured.
Do you know if it's part of the the stem offs of okay, got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is all very kind of interesting in how political it is.
Yeah, it was. I think Methodists allow women to be in the like clergy or whatever, but they were against gay marriage, which is why I eventually was like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem right to me.
And that's the other thing too, is it becomes fascinating just to parse out the yeses and the no category. Speaking of making charts.
Yeah.
This idea of where people's limits are is so interesting, because in so many ways I think of Mormons as being progressive. They are fairly progressive in certain ways, and then in other ways are just so much more like, oh no, the women can't have the priesthood, like surprising ways they stay shockingly old school. I gotta get back into that church. Listen, I got it.
if you're listening now, I just saw Book of Mormon on Broadway and it was interesting. The end.
Did you like it?
I did. I think in this year right now, and I'm not a huge fan of like the South Park humor anyway, but like right now, like having comedy that's edgy for no political purpose seems really weird to me. it feels like you're just being mean, but you're not helping anyone.
Interesting.
But I think that's especially like right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have strong opinions about about people using their voice, and like there's so much that we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I mean, it's a play from a while ago, so I get it. It's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it, when it came out, it felt, I mean, I guess the argument there would just be it's pointing out things that maybe could change about that church. I don't know. Yeah, or just religion in general.
It's more just being funny, I think. Like, mm-hmm. I was expecting more like pointed arguments, but it was just kind of like, this is funny. And it's like, okay. And ultimately kind of has an uplifting message, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Wasn't for me.
It wasn't for you. It wasn't your cup of tea.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. But like, Methodists could have like coffee and stuff like that.
All about coffee and donuts.
Do people... Well, this is an embarrassing thing to realize. Is like smoking cigarettes frowned upon in other religions besides Mormonism? I guess I've never... It can't be that I've never wondered that before.
I don't have a strong memory of whether... Like, I know there's a lot of like sex stuff and like that's no good. You have to be nice to people. I don't remember cigarettes coming into it.
Mm-hmm. I can really get it. What if I'm only or refuse to talk about anything but religion for the rest of this podcast episode? I guess.
I think Ellie Evans did smoke, so, and he was at my church. So,
oh, okay.
And he was on the good side of God.
So, and he was on the good side. There you go.
Yeah.
So there's the list again, the pros and cons list. Did you feel at the time that you were a teenager that you had a relationship with the God of your Methodist church?
I tried really hard. I definitely spent a lot of time at church. and it was a big part of who we were. I remember when we went to a church camp or like retreat one weekend, and it was
you and your sister or your whole family?
No, it was me and my church group.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
We went, and there was it was at a camp that was not all Methodist, I think, or just like a very kind of intense, and they had the big meeting where everybody was like, can you feel the spirit and let it happen, and we just like really kind of intense, like the stuff you would see on TV or whatever.
Boy, it's just everything you just said is around the corner from someone trying to convince someone to have sex with them. Just let it happen.
Breathe.
Just let it happen.
And that was like kind of cool to me. I was like, wow, you know, we're in this like hot room. So obviously we're singing, whatever.
Music is a huge incentive.
Oh, it's
that's a the I loved the singing part of, you know, Mormons are a real songy group too, and short of wanting to be in a Baptist church where everyone's clapping and singing, which is the most fun.
It's a good
like, you know, if you get along with people in the group, especially if you feel left out in other circles, what a great refuge, you know.
Well, the thing that happened was at this, we went to that, and then our group went back, and our like people who are our leaders were like, so that was like a lot, like don't, that's not us. We're like the cynical,
let's pour some water on this fire.
And it was, I think it was weird, like the people I went to church with and the youth there were like the people who I felt most disconnected from, like they felt like the cool people. I never felt like I fit in there, and they were the only people I knew who like drank and got underage pregnant and stuff were my church friends. I didn't want to go, but we were very guilted into it.
Yeah.
And so then I think eventually
the
gay marriage stuff was the part that was like, fine, I'm out. But I was basically just going for bell choir at that point anyway.
Yeah.
Cause I couldn't
get those notes in.
You can't quit if you're in it. Like I felt like I would be letting people down. So I was just like, I'm going to join every bell choir and just keep going forever.
Did you have a conversation with your parents about that? Like, was that a process of you graduated, you were going to be moving out, and then you could kind of do what you wanted? Or did you have to make a stand about something before that happened?
No, as soon as I graduated, my mom stopped going to church too.
Was that something you guys ever talked about?
Not super really. Like, I feel like we...
Isn't that funny?
In retrospect, she probably went... It was like, we have a community. It's like a group of people, which is great. And if any of them had been nice to me and I liked them, it would have been awesome. But
I can't. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Talk about just, it's like textbook what, I mean, it doesn't happen every time, but it definitely is, you know, as if we need another reason to go to point to certain religions and say, now, here's some issues with maybe sub hypocrisy I'm seeing.
Yeah. I think like the overall community, like the older people in the church were great. It just wasn't for me. I wish I had more time to do other stuff.
Yes, please start regretting your life choices already. Yeah, you're very young.
Yeah, it's fine.
What about, and so in high school, any kind of relationship-y stuff or?
Yeah. I always had a boyfriend starting in seventh grade. And then eventually a girlfriend. But it was, my parents met when my dad was 14 and like started dating then. And so I kind of was in this position of like, I have to find the person. What if I miss out?
That's so fascinating.
And I think part of that was the church too. And just like, you have to be nice to people and you want to be, you know, always with somebody and always of service. And, so yeah, I,
14.
I had boyfriends like for like 2 years minimum would be the person I'd be with
starting young. Your little baby marriages, your little 2 year plus marriages.
It was weird.
And so were you, and then I assume, well, I don't know like what you're, and I don't mean to press, I certainly don't, but in terms of like at what age, how smoochy and stuff was, was it like a boy from the church or?
No, it was always kids doesn't sound like from, it would have been from school or from like drama club or like nerd marching band.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I mean, it was always the church guilt stuff really kept, like in retrospect, I can see all of the actions of the boys pressuring me to do stuff. And I was just like, I don't understand what's happening. Bye. Which I'm so happy that I was so ignorant of what, like just out of it, that I never even realized that I was being pressured to do something. Cause I just didn't think it was possible. But there was, I mean, mostly nice folks. Nerdy, nice folks. Introduced me to D&D and stuff.
Well, I was going to say, what did you do? Because these guys know, but I sort of had this thing where I like did stuff and then didn't do stuff and then did stuff. Like there was not a consistent, in terms of people saying things are a gateway or it's a slippery slope or anything like that. Yeah. That is categorically untrue for me. It was like, I would have, I had one boyfriend in fifth grade that I never even held hands with. And then I had a boyfriend in sixth grade that I super made out with, like sixth grade. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember him like touching my tiny boobs or anything like that.
Yeah.
But just endless kissing, just kissing forever. I know we weren't using our tongues, but at the when you look back and you think about the amount of time spent, you're like, what were we doing? Because it didn't go anywhere beyond kissing, but just like just so much kissing.
Yeah.
And I was
in the same boat too. It's like, did it feel good or were we just so confused about what we wanted that exactly. It seemed like the right thing to do?
Yeah. And then when I broke up with him, like no, I still like went with people for a week here, a week there, but I'd never kissed them. I was just as nervous about kissing anyone as I ever would have been if I'd never kissed anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't until my, between my freshman between my eighth grade and freshman year that I French kissed someone. And then I feel like that didn't happen. But you know what I'm saying? So there was no like, well, now I do this. Now I'm this person who does these things. You know?
Yeah. It's interesting.
So you played D&D.
We played D&D. Yeah. The marching band was great for me because it felt like a community that I was kind of finally part of where I
So that was kind of the most like all these people at once rather than a couple of closies.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of closies were in the band, but it was fun. And it was like people who really like, they might be Giants and going bowling and going to Applebee's. And like, it was fun.
All the biggies,
community.
All the greats.
Yeah. That's the best stuff to do in Westford.
Sure.
It was a really cool community to be a part of, playing board games and just I think mostly it was boys who had met each other in Boy Scouts that had got to all these hobbies and stuff that I was really jealous of, like because we didn't go out that much, which is another reason that it was nice to have a boyfriend, because it was like someone who would hang out with me all the time and I wouldn't, and they would drive and I would have a way to get out of my house and go do something.
Swallowing water.
Yeah.
That took me longer than I expected. what kind of hobbies did they have that you were envious of?
Well, Boy Scouts got to do really cool stuff. They got to go like hiking.
Agreed.
make stuff and learn computers and I don't know, they had secret societies they were so proud of and stuff like that. I was like, I don't want to do that.
How yeah.
I
don't get to do and that? Girl Scouts wasn't presented to you as an option. It certainly wasn't presented to me.
I was a brownie for a little while, like in first grade or something like that. But it felt kind of clicky to me. And like, I don't remember doing anything interesting. Like, I think we made cushions to sit on. And I was okay. All right, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good talk.
Why are they called brownies? I don't know.
No one has ever.
A Girl Scout, I can put my
head. Yeah, it was like, it was the pre-brownie group. I don't know.
Yeah.
We ate a lot of brownies.
Did you?
We did.
That would be the number one reason for me to show up.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
If I could have married sugar, I would have as a younger person. That's what that was my consistent relationship while you were having your 2+ year baby marriages.
Yeah.
Did you guys like write poems to each other and stuff? Or did it become weirdly domestic really early in the sense of like, well, we're still together 3 months later?
There were some where, it was the beginning of the internet. So I remember making like a fan page for my relationship in like 7th grade. It was like Pink had a lot of animated hearts on it.
A fan page.
It was all about going to drama club on Wednesdays and making out with this guy. And then, what else? Websites, live journal. I did write poems. I wrote angsty poems about stuff. And then, just mostly like going to people's houses and hanging out and holding hands and stuff like that.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think I that's one of the things that I love about the people in my life that I rarely see socially anyway, because so much of work feels like a party.
Yeah.
A weird, great party that I'm not sure how I got invited to.
Yeah.
But I do really enjoy like activity-based get-togethers with structure. I'm not a drinker really, so I hate to say that it's not like people I love become boring if I'm not drinking. It's not that, but if I have a choice between, just hanging out at a bar or whatever, which I think I say with even you can even it's hard for me to even remove the kind of like hanging out at a bar in my voice when I say it. But if it's between that and like a game night, night all day long.
Huge into games,
right?
We have so many games. It's like I love it.
That's
my
great
favorite thing to do social. I just remembered the other thing that we did in high school and middle school was write each other notes. And we had a secret language that was just a Lego code, like it was that you learned in the online Lego Bionicle game.
Oh, I'm really perking up on this.
Language we used to write each other notes and stuff. Yes.
What is the Lego Bionicle?
So they're Legos they're like tall. They're Lego brand, but they're like taller and they have a different sort of structure and they're robots. The world kind of reminds me of Myst.
Uh-huh.
And then there was an online game that had a secret alphabet that was like super easily analog to just a regular alphabet. But that was like, I didn't even play the game that much, but the like click of dudes that I became friends with was like really into it. So we would, I don't know. It was fun.
Is there anything Legos haven't conquered on some level at this point? Mm-hmm. If someone was like, you don't eat Legos? We all eat Legos, Janet. Do you not eat Legos yet?
You don't do Lego every once in a while?
Yeah. I guess I don't know. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know yet. And what kind of music were you listening to?
Only They Might Be Giants.
Great.
And a little bit of Weird Al and the Beatles.
Okay, you must have lost your mind that John Flansburgh was on the
He wasn't
cruise.
On when I was there.
Oh, crap. That I've was never the met him. There was a cruise before.
Yes.
Okay. They all, as you can imagine, I was going to say they all blend together. I've been on two. Yeah. Those two have blended together.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really, really loved them.
I did too. But I didn't, but I'm, I, you're far younger than me. So I was a late, so my, I kind of got out of them after like Apollo. I think that album
that was the
like,
first one I got.
See, there you go. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's what happened. My love of They Might Be Giants reincarnated
Thank
into
you.
Your love of They Might Be Giants and you picked up right where I left off.
Yeah. It was a thing that all the Boy Scouts were into. And they passed the songs along like an oral history. Like they wouldn't even listen to them. They just sing them.
Oh, that's great.
Which was amazing. And that was true of like Boy Scouts around the country, which is
interesting.
Interesting. But then I would learn about one thing from these groups of friends that I would join, and then I'd like bought everything Miami Giant C and go see them in concert, and it'd be like, what do you mean you're not like those people? You introduced me to They Might Be Giants. Now we're really into it, right? And I did the same thing with like Kurt Vonnegut and all this stuff. Like, if I catch up on all of this work, then I will be a friend.
Doing all the homework at our school, you guys.
They were super important to me. Like, I remember listening to their music, and like there's a song that I credit with like preventing me from killing myself, and just like all of their stuff was...
What was the song?
It's called Dead. I don't think that's what it's about at all, but it's about it's like, I returned a bag of groceries accidentally taken off the shelf before my expiration date.
Sure.
It's like, now it's over and I'm dead and I haven't done anything that I want, or I'm still alive and there's nothing I want to do.
I know it well, my dear.
It's a great song, but yeah, it just made...
Especially the bridge. So I won't do
this. It's like all the words happening at once. You have to get the book and see what they're saying.
Oh, yeah.
On the internet.
That is... Have you spoken openly about this a million times?
No.
That is one of the most adorable things I've ever heard. I can't think of a more charming song where everyone else would be like, well, you know, Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill. Like, the fact that you pulled that out of Ain't My Be Giants is... I'm like tearing up.
Oh, yeah.
I think that is so adorable. And I don't mean that. I mean, it is able to be adored. I don't mean it in a condescending way at all. I just find that so touching. My experience with them was definitely because I loved Weird Al growing up.
Yeah.
But I understood, particularly when I turned goth, I understood that he wasn't cool. I still loved him. I understood like, oh, this isn't cool. Like I'm not supposed to like The Cure and Weird Al. Mm-hmm. And so what blew my mind about They Might Be Giants, I love the idea of you hearing of them and knowing them as a cultural thing among the scouts before maybe you even had a relationship to them yourself. But for me, it was more like they just came out of nowhere, you know? Someone somewhere had them on the car.
Yeah.
And it was that bridge, right? It was the like, oh my God, they're cool. Oh, they're cool? Yeah. Oh, great. Because that reminds me of that. But I get that it's not quite the same. But it felt like such a relief to have something that kind of bridged the gap between the two.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know if they were... Cool. I know that there was one other girl in my class who liked them, and I loved her. Like, I wanted to be her. She was beautiful, and she was, like, quirky and weird and, like, punk and, like, all of the things that I thought I would be. But she, like, had way more friends and everything, and she, like, They Might Be Giants, and we, like, bonded over. It was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I don't know if they were cool in the sense of what... I don't know. I guess I don't even know really what... I know what I understood to be cool, which was a bunch of really smart punks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was kind of the people that I hung out with in high school. And then, like, my regular kind of nerdy, normal, unpunky, ungothy friends that, you know, were in my honors classes and stuff. But that was what I aspired to, and they did make it into the, like, it was okay to be really smart. And Vonnegut was another one, actually. Yeah. That was another great example of, you know, biting and you know, that acerbic, satirical, but somehow very inviting attitude of his books were so like, he's talking just to me, you know?
Yeah, I loved it. I love those books so much because I have a really bad memory, and I always have, and you never had to remember who the characters were, like, from page to page. Like, he always reminded you, but it was also like, oh man, the world sucks. Here's our solution. And it was, I love that guy. I love those books. Yeah.
Did you ever read White Noise by Don DeLillo?
No.
That to me is, I'm sure that anybody who, I'm sure I must've read it in a class. I would love to say I found it on my own, but that is, I'd be interested if you ever feel like reading it, I'd be interested to hear what you think, because to me that book is like it could almost have been written by Vonnegut and there's some really just wickedly funny stuff in it, in the same way that he kind of world builds that way and then has, you know, great observations about stuff.
Yeah.
White Noise, the main crux of it that sort of appears very early in the book is just this like horrible toxic cloud that's hovering over the city that is treated, you know, with a lot of fun and whimsical qualities awesome. That you're also like, this is so dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good. And so D&D, when did that, was that another, scout thing? Cause that's another thing where I knew of it, but it was something that other people did and I was never asked.
That was kids. I guess I met through, Odyssey of the Mind. Do you know about Odyssey of the Mind?
Is that like for really smart kids, like a fellowship?
It was like a competition that's kind of theater and problem solving, and you like made stuff out of newspaper and duct tape.
Great.
And yeah. So those kids, I did that forever, and we started playing D&D like in the lobby of the school after school had ended, and we were allowed to be there because my mom was a teacher, and we just played and learned about the first campaign was written by this guy named Ted. And it was like these evil liches were stealing people, and we found out they were making sandcastles for no reason, like and putting jewels on them. It's like, yeah, that was just, it was so much fun. Like, I think my sister had done some role playing at one point and told me about it, and I thought everything she did was cool. So I was like, well, I have to do that at some point. And then I did it.
She's older than you are. Yeah. How much older is she?
She's 2.5 years older.
Is she musically inclined as well?
Yes. She's in the band with me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think I dropped off on when we became you, or if that blend ever happened, because you talked about we, and then I was like, oh no, I'm assigning her sister to all this stuff too. Yeah, so yeah. Maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah. 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 So she played cello. It was one of the reasons I stopped playing violin.
Cello is the only instrument I wish I played more. Were you excited about Zoe Keating?
Yeah, I love Zoe Keating. Yeah, she's amazing. And Aubrey started playing cello when she was in like eighth grade, and I had been playing violin for 10 years at that point, and she just immediately was good at it because she started when she was like 14 and I started playing violin when I was 3, and also she practiced. She was immediately good, and I was like, she's better than me already. I quit. But she was always really cool to me, and she had done role playing one time. I was like, I'm going to do that. I joined Marching Band because she was doing it too, and then she quit immediately. And I was like, well, I can't quit. I don't quit things.
You're not a quitter. You're not a quitter.
No.
Would you have, just to go back to the relationship stuff for a minute, would you have, like, when things were, like, how did you finally break up with someone? And would there be conversations about it because you weren't going to quit? Would there be, like, listen, we got to work through this. We've put so much time into it. We're 14 now. We're not 12 anymore.
No, I was bad. I was, I'm not, proud of this. I did a lot of like ending relationships 'cause I found somebody else. Mm-hmm.
It's very normal.
So it was just like, okay, this is over. Bye. And then
you heartbreaker.
I know. And then eventually like the guy I dated from a lot of high school, he went to college. And so we were on and off, just random drama reasons and so on.
Okay, just the Elizabeth Taylor of,
a lot of
15-year-olds.
Late night AOL Instant Messenger, figure out our dramatic important life.
Sure. Like,
if we're not going to get married, you know, why are we even doing this?
Uh-huh. Well, that 14-year-old, your parents meeting at 14.
Yeah.
But other people surely in your life must have said, you know, that's unusual, right?
I don't know. I don't know that I ever really got perspective on that. I don't know. I didn't have a lot of other people like to talk that we never talked about relationships with anybody.
Yeah.
Not my parents or my sister, really anything.
Gotcha. And you said that you eventually did end up dating a lady or two.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
At the end of high school. It was, we wrote a song about it for the album, and a lot of like my new album has a lot of songs about like changing your perspective on your past to, instead of having regrets, just be like, I'm glad that happened because this came out of it, because it
was very absolutely, I couldn't agree more,
dramatic and a lot of crying at the time. But it was a person who I was really good friends with for a long time, and she and they were in the closet, but we had been acting for a long time like we were dating, like, haha, everyone thinks we're gay. And then eventually she came out and was like, okay, so I guess we are dating now. I should probably break up with my boyfriend because I'm a lesbian.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, not three years later, figuring out like, no, actually, it's okay. Like, you can,
right?
But you're not,
it doesn't
broken.
Have to be one or the other.
Yeah, yeah. That was a fun and dramatic period of time.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm glad it happened.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did So you guys were together for 3 years?
No, we were together for like a summer.
Oh, yeah.
and it was a complicated thing. This is also on the album, but we had like secret prom. Like everybody who I went to prom, like our group, everyone had a same, like an opposite sex date that didn't know that we were all secretly there with somebody of the same sex.
Oh, wow.
And it, just like looking at the pictures from back there, I was like, this is amazing. Like this is not right. None of this is okay.
Secret prom, by the way. Yeah. Don't be afraid to name your next album that, because that's fantastic.
It's secret queer prom. Nobody knows.
Oh, it's great.
It's what's happening.
It's great.
It's Boston though. Like everybody's still gay wasn't out there.
Yeah, because for me, I assumed I really don't want to drill in our age difference because it just makes me feel old. But I felt like people started coming out more in high school type scenarios, like a handful of years after I was in college, and I started to notice more, you know, younger people. I was like, oh God, you got to come out so much earlier. Good for you. Yeah. I feel like I saw that wave kind of happening. And so but also it's still not happening everywhere. So no. How dare I, you know, I can only look at my small circles. Also, what a surprise that I was living in San Francisco when I started noticing younger people coming out. It's like, well, now you're in the bubble anyway. So
yeah, I hope people are more comfortable with it now. Like gay marriage was legal in Massachusetts when I was in high school. And a lot of my friends and people I now know are gay or bi or queer in some way. But almost nobody came out at school. Like, and the people who did were bullied, like by us. Like it was just like we had opinions, and I specifically remember all the terrible things we said to bi people about like that's not real and whatever. It's like defensive much. But a lot of my town was very Catholic and religious, and so it was just not cool. And like Mormons and stuff, like my best friend was a Mormon and just had,
she tried to rope you in, you said.
Yeah, it was just not a okay thing to be gay. It was just like, I still love you, but this is a sin and people are going
I'm
going to
fix you.
It's like, no, that's not it. That's not it. That's not the same thing.
Yeah. Did she pull you into like a lot of social activities within the Mormon church and stuff?
Yeah. When I was in, I guess middle school, I liked, being rebellious and thinking about running away a lot. And, it was just like a depressed and anxious kid and nobody understood me. And so I would think about running, I run to her house, and then I did that once, and then they were like, well, she clearly needs help. And so I went to a lot of Mormon stuff with her until I think my grandmother eventually like got word of it and was like, if you become a Mormon, you're disowned from our family or something like that.
Bless.
Yeah. It was just like probably for the best, because I have a lot of opinions about religion, but I think I'm better off not thinking I have to be nice to everybody, because that leads people to take advantage of you.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was going to ask something specific. Well, let me get there. I got it. I got this. I don't have it at all. Not even a little bit. I mean, I'm pleased that she was a best friend of someone who was totally common. But
yeah.
But was she ever? But again, so many Mormon kids that I went to church with, many of them were very religious. But if pressed, a lot of them were just doing it because it was how they grew up, and it was a fun community, and they did feel that they fit in. And you know, I'm always curious for people. Like I kind of wish I could go back and ask all of those people, but really know I was going to get the honest answer, which is very obviously loaded. But I just would, and now I'm curious, like how many of you, because many of them stayed in the church, but again, is it that just part of their family culture?
I feel like there's so much good that like those giving and preparedness and all of the there's so much good that in Mormonism and like every religion. I just, as soon as you start discriminating against people, it becomes like
it's a huge problem.
Yeah, it's just like you are welcome.
Hold on. Like it's the number one stupid record scratch of any religion that is espousing any sort of like charitable and inclusive thoughts.
Yeah,
It's really really hard.
And sexism and stuff. And
it's a mess.
There's so much good that can come from religion. And that's like the point of church, is like a place where we all come together and learn moral rules. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's hard. I think, but you kind of hit the nail on the head in a sense, because once you are a community of people who care about each other and look out for each other, it's really hard not to fall into the, frankly, ape-like pattern that we are want to do in terms of survival, which is as soon as there's an other, there's a danger. And there's something to disapprove of, and there's something to fear, there's something to be threatened by, there's something to not, oh God, let's not change, you know, let's not let this other thing in, or let this other thing be normal, because it's not normal for us, and that's scary.
Yeah.
So that's tricky. It's really tricky.
In every community too.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. Well, yeah, I'm sure you saw it, you know, any type of like, here's this cluster, like, yeah. Oh, here's all these wonderful things happening and all of these things, but here's maybe what makes me not want to be able to go all in on it or something like that. Mm-hmm. When did you start writing songs?
We were musical our whole lives, has been very full of music, Aubrey and I, my sister. But I didn't start writing songs like thinking I was going to perform them until after, like right after college. Like I've always written like poetry and stories and stuff. But I didn't pick up a guitar really until after college. And then immediately was like, I'm going to write songs, 'cause this like crappy guy I had dated played guitar and was like, oh my God, a guy played guitar. And then I broke up with him and picked up a guitar. I was like, oh, this is super easy.
We really need to give him so much credit.
We really need to stop being impressed by people playing guitar. And that was when we started playing songs to perform. But I remember in high school, my sister and I wrote a song called All Over the Ninja Possum, which is a theme song for a possum that we bought at Cracker Barrel.
Great. Great.
Yeah. It's music has always been a really big part of our lives, and just I feel very lucky that we grew up knowing that it was that like songwriters are people, and that's a thing you can do.
Absolutely. Good heavens. Speaking of the thing that I talk about a lot on the podcast, which is like the things other people do that you then for some reason feel like you can't do.
Yeah.
Principally because you're seeing someone else be good at it already.
Yeah.
If I could infuse young people with, which I guess it maybe more it is now. That's why people complain about millennials, is they feel they can do everything, which is I'm great with.
Yeah.
But yeah, if there's something you can infuse into kids, which is, you know, don't. But also like I'm not. But then other people talk about, you know, children being too coddled or too encouraged, and I get that too. But I'm not saying that. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying like you can do anything and you'll be great at it right away. I'm saying you can do anything and you might super suck at it for a while, or you can do anything until you decide that it's not for you, because that happens too, right? You know, just because you decide that you want to be president, I don't want to tell any kid like you can't be president. But I encourage that child to experience as much as they want until they go, you know what I think might really suck is being president, you know?
Yeah, just having the idea that it's possible, that it's even worth going down the path to try to do that is, I think, a hard thing for people. Like, yeah. I didn't know scientists. I didn't think that was possible. It's like, that seems like a lot of school, or a doctor. Just like, I don't think I can do that. That doesn't seem possible to me. But my aunt is a writer, my dad was a musician, my mom was a teacher. So those are the things that I knew were jobs you could have
as
an adult.
So, no, I completely get it. I can't believe how fast it's gone. I do need to get into this MASH game, I'm very much looking forward to. Okay, let's start with the category. I feel that I'm not going to have any problems with categories with you. So the question is, where do I even begin?
My friend told me, like, are you ready for the MASH game? Are you prepared? It's like,
you shouldn't be ready. No. But if you are ready, I'm also great with that.
No.
Well, no, because I know that every time anyone asks me to play my own game, I always get frustrated.
I love that you have a special MASH pad.
I do.
I didn't even know that was. Oh, it's yours.
I do. Okay, that makes sense. This is, yeah. Oh, yeah. This was made for me. A version of this was made for me pretty early on by two listeners who, one was in New Zealand and one was in the Washington, Portland area.
Oh, wonderful.
Kind of in between. But they somehow became friendly over it was one of those like, oh no, anything like that where, and I'm sure this is true for you with your fans, where people meet each other through something you do is the best feeling in the world. Yeah. But yeah, so here's our mash pad. And my first category for you will be, let's do three. Okay, now I'm getting a little weird and obscure and probably like esoteric within the framework of this exact episode. But I'm really going to push you on some stuff because why the fuck not?
Sounds great.
Give me three never before heard of almost like role-playing games that you're creating that have never really been. So it's not D&D, and I know that cracks open the whole world of like like video games, like things like that. But is there, but the question is more about when you were growing up. So you may know now that, you know, The Last of Us, like you might know now that something exists that is a video game, but this is like just like a thing that young people did that was in real life that is like role playing in worlds that maybe we don't hear about, and they could be totally silly. They could just be like objects that come to life.
Okay, so a world that a role playing game could be set in.
Yeah, kind of like it's D&D, but you know, it's like the three that in this alternate universe you created, and other people are like, oh, you don't play R&M, radishes and maggots?
Oh, no.
I don't pick radishes and maggots.
Okay, let's see. I think there should be a role-playing game based on Cat's Cradle by Kurt Vonnegut.
Great. I was coming up with a category. I didn't even know what it was, and you've already made it better.
Yeah, with all the like little subgroups where you figure out who you're destined to be. Tied to. I think there should be one that's just about graduating from college and being in your 20s.
Great.
But it's all really, you immediately get a lot of opportunities that you get to follow. Like it's just like, and then all of a sudden you're offered 20 different jobs and you have to pick one and go along your perfect path.
I love it.
And you become a 30 under 30 at mm-hmm. the end of it. Every
time. Great.
It's another one that doesn't exist. Maybe one about reenacting The Hobbit in New Zealand. It's like not about The Hobbit. It's about people who go to New Zealand.
Oh, that's great. Ooh, I love how meta that is. It's, again, better and more meta than my category itself. So I'm putting Meta Hobbit on here.
Meta Hobbit. That sounds great. Right? Meta Hobbit is very good.
I love it. Other acceptable answers, by the way, which I just thought of right now, would have been some sort of queer prom.
Yeah, that's true. Like a queer prom. RPG. Also very exists. There are so many really
cool. Oh, there you go. There you go.
We follow the Kickstarters of role-playing games and board games and stuff.
It's nice.
Really good, really good. There's one right now called Consenticle that's out. That's a game about consent and also like tentacles and stuff like that. Like weird hentai stuff, I think.
Queer and all of the things. I certainly appreciate that hentai exists.
Yeah.
Do you like hentai?
No.
That one is a struggle for me, because, and I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, things that are depicted in hentai are not necessarily the most sex positive.
Well, yeah.
But at the same time, it's
consent based.
It makes me so happy that there's it can just be drawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was what, like, when I found out that hentai was a thing when I had moved to San Francisco, my first response was like, you mean I don't have to worry about whether someone likes it or not? Like, I don't, because I could never watch. I just, that's a longstanding, I wish I trusted more. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet with 99% of porn where I really feel like people are into it.
I'm with you.
Specifically women. But anyway.
Yeah.
But so that was a big thing for me. It was like, great, great. Let's draw them. Let's just have some people doing some voices. Sounds good, guys.
A lot of work with
it. That was just the first sexuality depicted on screen that I wasn't really worried the whole time. Yeah. Anyway, shout out to hentai, certain types. Okay. next category is let's do three real life places that it would be fun to have a vacation home, but I'm going to extend the getting there is not an issue to it could also be like another planet. So it's not Narnia because that doesn't exist.
Okay.
By the way, spoiler alert. And I also, it may fully exist. But do you know what I mean? It could be like Mars. It could be under the sea. So it could be unrealistic, but it's still a place that exists as we know it now in our elements.
Sure. Prague.
Great.
So I went there in college. So of course I want to visit there all the time.
I've never been and I've only heard good things. Oh, so I'd love to go.
I really, really like it. I haven't been that many other places.
It can be a place you have a sense of that you've never been.
I'm in New Zealand.
Yeah.
I'm very obsessed with.
Right there with you.
And then maybe Melbourne.
Sure. Also love Melbourne.
I have been there and I liked it a lot.
It was great. It reminds me of San Francisco, which the only weird feeling about that is how long it takes to get there. And then you're like, oh, this is like San Francisco.
Yeah. But flat.
But flat. Listen, there's the occasional minor hill. Okay, great. Next category is, I throw in my perennial favorite, three foods that you shouldn't or can't have in this reality that in the other reality are nutritious and wonderful for you. And you can have the snap of a finger, no matter how rare or hard to get they are.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this.
I'm very happy that you're happy.
I should have been prepared. I'm going to say mac and cheese.
Great.
There's a specific one I'm thinking about that just is like baked and has a lot of cheese in it.
And do you like it to have a little al dente to it? You like the chewy? Yeah. Cause that's my only complaint with mac and cheese is when there's the middle gooey part that feels like what is a substance anymore?
Variety of flavors. You want it to have some substance. Probably my grandmother's chocolate cake.
Mmm.
And
what makes her chocolate cake it's your grandma so it's different, but is there something specific about it?
It's just mostly butter, I think.
Great.
The deal.
She knows what she's great. Doing.
Yeah, she killed it. And what else? I eat like what I want, generally, which isn't smart, but makes this question harder. It's a hard thing to get. I guess like a really good breakfast sandwich.
Mmm, great choice.
Yeah. I've been vegetarian for a while and like now I don't like the taste of meat, but if I could enjoy it again, I would like a sausage breakfast sandwich.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, anything you put, I know it's probably not fashionable anymore, like Top Chef wise, but I'm probably still never going to complain about a cracked egg on something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just not going to, I'm going to be okay with it.
It's okay.
You know?
Maybe not fashionable, sandwich. But it's still good.
Yeah. I remember we made a sandwich on dinner in a movie once that was like that, where because it was some famous breakfast sandwich. It was like the French laundry guy who revolutionized the breakfast sandwich. But it was essentially like a BLT, which there are things in that I wouldn't eat now, but I probably didn't eat then. But the BLT that had the egg that, you know, is poached, but you don't cut into it until you're cutting into the egg, into the sandwich. Mwah. So good.
Sounds pretty good.
Next category is, well, let's do alternate universe companion, sexy times, wife, husband, whatever the characteristics of the relationship per person have are up to you.
Yep.
And it can be a real person or it can be a person from fiction, you know, it could be a character.
This is the one I prepared for.
Oh, good. Okay.
Gillian Holtzman from Ghostbusters.
Great.
CJ Craig from The West Wing.
Oh, CJ Craig.
And then Danny Kincannon from The West Wing.
Danny!
Is my favorite.
I do love, I think their whole relationship was fantastic too, just both of them together.
I love, like, not just because she's taller than him and I'm like tall and that's like a thing in my head all the time.
I was always the taller person.
Yeah.
Up until the relationship I'm in now, pretty much.
But he's just so supportive. I just love how supportive he is.
No, that's really true. A true feminist, one might say. A true male feminist. We just did a West Wing show up in San Francisco with West Wing Weekly, the podcast that Josh has, Josh and Rishi. And she was a surprise guest. And I really had to do a lot of emotional prep before then. Like, to myself, I had to keep going, she's not going to be your new best friend. She's not gonna, you guys aren't gonna start hanging out.
I love like her so
let
much.
It go. Don't, you're, it's not gonna happen. It's all gonna be a, such a whirlwind. You'll be lucky if she even is able to like shake your hand.
Yeah.
Cause she really was kind of whisking in and whisking back out. But it was still hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I'm so, I, even though I, she's my number one top of my list guest, I'm mm-hmm. so afraid of ever getting to spend some FaceTime with Emma Thompson, because if she doesn't fall immediately in love with me,
yeah.
What would be the point?
Yeah. What's the,
what would be the point? So I guess my number one goal then is to like be in a movie with her, because then we'll have all this FaceTime and she won't be able to resist my creepy love.
Yeah. Yeah,
who are you? Give me three of those. Give me three people that you don't want to meet unless you know you guys are going to be closies.
Oh, gosh. John Flansburgh.
Copy.
That's weird because no people know him.
No, it gets weird when they get real adjacent. I get it.
Sorry for silence.
I don't know.
Emma Watson.
Oh, great. No, I always say that this thinking time is time for people that are listening to like quickly answer an email that they wouldn't be able to. You think you can listen to the podcast and work, but then you can't. But then for one quiet second, you're like, ooh, I can quickly digest what this email says and fire off a response.
Okay. Somebody that I want to become best friends with. I don't know. Can I say Allison Janney? It's cheating.
Yeah. It's not cheating. Yeah.
Okay.
Just because we happen to bring her up doesn't make that cheating.
Okay.
I don't know. What would be cheating for this game? So it got some pretty loose parameters. Three. Let's do three alternate universe careers that could also involve things that aren't real or, you know, superhero type stuff if you wanted.
Oh, cool. I would like to be... I want like a professor. I think that would be cool, but I don't like reading, so I'll never do it. Alternate universe options are very exciting.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad.
I know. I'm thinking like the guy on the phone for a superhero. I don't know why I'm not saying I want to be a superhero if I could say anything. But I kind of want to be like a mastermind behind like a team of...
Oh,
like
sure.
Nick Fury kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's great.
And he can't die. So that's good news.
That also is helpful.
And then I guess like an author of long and important books.
I love it that you don't have to read said books. You can just write them and then someone else will read it. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. Next category. If there's a category, by the way, that you have in your mind that you were hoping to be asked that I'm not asking you, please
all my
volunteer
preparation
that.
Has been used.
Okay, great. Next category is, I really want to think this through now. I'm allowing for some silence. Answer a couple more of those emails, guys. Totally small or totally huge optimistic shifts in the future that are Ooh. Different 5 years from now. I've never done this category before. It's brand new just for you.
I would like, this is just a very specific thing to me. Mm-hmm. I would like every church to have a pride flag on it.
Great.
Every time I see a church with a pride flag, I'm like, yes, you're allowed to exist. I want fast trains to be the main mode of transportation.
Great. I would enjoy that as well.
I like it.
I'm so tired of being taunted with the LA to San Francisco speed train. I'm tired of it, guys. Let's act on it now.
I was a reporter for a little bit in a town outside of Portland. And it was amazing to meet the city council of the people who are the reason we can't have trains. It's like, it would be loud and near my house. It's like, I understand, but it also would save the planet. Like, what about the planet, though?
Not in my backyard.
not in my backyard stories. We're like, my job for... It was like, this is sad.
That must have been so infuriating.
Yeah. It makes good writing. It's easy.
You got to go over and work for the Zippity Doo News.
Yeah. I know. I don't think they pay.
Probably not. Psychic pay. That's what they call psychic pay.
Yeah.
Emotional pay.
And what's the other thing? No mean people on the internet.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody is satisfied with themselves.
Everything would just work more. The connections would be so fast if there were no more mean people.
Yeah. Everybody would be so satisfied with themselves. They wouldn't have to bully other people on the internet. There's a few steps in between. But
no, listen, I could not agree more. That's a real heartbreaker for me. God, there's just so many things to love about people and just so many things to be really disappointed by. That's negative. Okay, let's do the three movies that you can jump into. Live In, Get All Over You. You're not reenacting the plot. You're not a character in the movie unless you really want to be, but it's just kind of the world that you're in.
Sure. First is The Return of the King behind the scenes featurette.
Oh!
Which is my favorite movie.
I've
watched it so many times.
King.
I just want the character that everyone pretends Viggo Mortensen is to be around me.
It's amazing.
He really loves horses.
Uh-huh.
What other movies do I like? I can't think of any movies right now.
I do the same thing.
I've seen movies, right? Princess Bride.
Oh, great.
Could be a TV show.
Oh, sure.
Parks and Rec.
Oh, great. Oh, I did that. Like,
oh, wow.
You won something.
I did it.
Great. Okay. Parks and Rec. Okay. You know, I got to do this little doodle. So just tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay, that was an interesting one because for the first time ever, I decided to give this little guy a twirly mustache. And so I was going to count the twirly mustache curls. But this person only has half a mustache.
Oh, no. I didn't want you to have to go too long.
I'm really okay with it.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to pause this. I will assure the listener it will seem as if no time has passed. And I will be back with your 100% guaranteed fictitious mash future.
Perfect.
Okay. I feel great about these.
Oh, I'm so happy.
These outcomes. It's a lot of it I feel I personally am benefiting from vicariously. So this is really good news.
Cool.
First of all, I want to congratulate you for your beautiful house in Melbourne.
Oh, yay.
That just sounds like it's great. It's just a great navigable city that is
really cool shops.
Quite lovely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love there. You know what I fell in love with was I rented a bike as I try to do every place I go. And they have a wonderful bike path along the river that is just terrific. That I would never have seen otherwise. You know what I mean? I would never have known to go there. Okay. So house in Melbourne. I want to congratulate you on, listen, after you, now I'm assigning you that bike path. So after you've taken a long, beautiful ride on the bike path, probably your house is like somewhere right near the river or the sea. I want you to rest assured that you can go back inside and have the perfect breakfast sandwich.
Yes.
I'm going to extend it to, it can be any materials inside you want. It doesn't have to be that sausage every time, particularly if you decide, again, you don't like the taste of meat.
Yeah.
I want to congratulate you on your creation of the Cat's Cradle game,
which
I think is super cool. Again, personal benefit right there for me to play. And in addition to creating that, of course, you've authored at least one really long book.
Oh, excellent.
If not many.
I'm excited.
I remember one of your books was just talking about the whole process of how there ended up being no mean people on the internet five years from now.
Wonderful.
So caused that to happen and you're able to chronicle all those in between reasons why, and like people will learn from it for generations to come. You can also, sometimes you just want to take a break and go have fun in another world. In this case, you get to hang out in Parks and Rec.
Excellent.
Feels like you've done a lot of really heavy, important work here. So I want you to be able to just stop in there and have some laughs.
Okay.
And this is very, very satisfying to me. It satisfies me that your alternate universe companion is Danny Kincannon, but your best friend is Allison Janney.
Oh, perfect.
So they're going to be really good
and not know why.
It's going to be a wonderful hodgepodge of who knows what adventures.
Oh, excellent.
And that, my friend, is your MASH outcome. Your half a mustache MASH outcome. And I think all that's left is for me to make sure that people listening to this podcast know where to find you, know how to get your music, know how to see you live, all that kind of stuff. So fill us in.
Yeah. My band is called The Double Clicks. We put out an album called Love Problems recently. It was on the Billboard comedy chart number one.
Yay! Which
was very exciting. So get that on iTunes and stuff, or thedoubleclicks.com has all our videos and things like that. And I am at Angela M. Weber on Twitter. I'm making stuff recently. I have a few podcasts and
great
things. So
that's great. Yeah. I'm so glad we did this. I really snapped you up as soon as I heard you were coming down here.
Thank you so much.
And oh, maybe I could even put a Double Click song on the end of this
Please
episode.
Do.
Okay, good. We'll do that. You and I can discuss offline what it'll be. Mm-hmm. And guys, I will talk to you next time on the podcast.
My prom was awesome. I have no regrets. Now that the Catholics all have empty nests, I can tell you honestly, it was all gay as hell. I don't know who invented the bottle that spins, but I know it's a fun game that everyone wins when you play it with closeted queers in a love carousel. When nobody thinks that it's real to be bi, your hometown gets filled up with all sorts of lies. And I'm sorry for all the straight roles that I failed at portraying. But Lord grant me patience and Hugh grant me grace. I never knew love till I looked in their face when they told me with tears in their eyes that this wasn't just playing. And that isn't what happened, but it's what I remember. Don't tell the host, I don't want to offend her. I've never felt stronger while loving so tender. And we tried so hard, but we were still wrong about gender. Wrong about gender. Bicycle, pancake, omnipotent, queer. Pick a prefix that fits you, I'm glad you're still here. Me and God hate the people who tell you your feelings are fake. The first person who'd made me feel good to be tall, who made me feel real in a whole way at all, wore the wrong kind of clothes that TV told me I should be right for. Gay weddings in Boston showed it was okay. If I hadn't known that, I might not be here today. So let's try telling kids that their joy is a thing we will fight for. And that isn't what happened, but it's what I remember. We told the truth at the end of December. We made the worst daiquiris in that poor blender. And we tried to learn, but we were still wrong about gender. No, that isn't what happened, but it's what I remember. We told the truth at the end of December. We made the worst daiquiris in that poor blender. And we tried to learn, but we were still wrong about gender.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.